Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most five-thumbed podcast network.
Hey everyone, welcome to Bookish. I'm George DeMarillis. This is a show where we ask you what's your story and what does it say about you. Today on the show we have comedian, graphic artist and father, Matt O'Neill. How you doing, Matt?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, George. How are you?
I'm good.
Am I allowed to ask you questions?
Yes, you are, but only three. So yeah, you've used one.
I've only got one.
So. Perfect. Well, yeah. You're in a safe space. You still had two in the back pocket.
If you look unwell, I'll try it again.
Okay, great. Yeah. And I'm legally obligated to tell the whole truth, so... how am I doing? Not great. No. I love your. I did like you putting in the graphic designer and the father part instead of just the comedian. You're like, I'm a whole person.
Yeah.
Not defined by just one factor of myself.
I feel awkward people calling me comedian though as well anyway because I've only been doing it like a few years. And yeah, I'm really good. I get it. Calm down, everyone. But, you know, let's not do labels just yet.
Okay. So-
Yeah.
What is your most comedian moment, actually? You opened for some...
I opened for Steve Hughes at the Athenaeum. That was probably... That was my third gig. that was a couple of years in.
How big is the Athenaeum?
I think that night there was like 800 to 900 people there.
That's a good...
Yeah, so it was pretty daunting. And because it's the levels, because as you know, normally we're just used to talking in front of... smaller audiences, maybe.
Just a tad.
Yeah, but even at the Comics Lounge, they're all on one level. You know what I mean? This was three levels high and, like, they're just towering above you and looking. And unfortunately, because Steve was filming it for a special, the audience was lit up a lot more than it normally would be. So I could see every single face of those 800, 900 faces. So it was pretty terrifying.
Terrifying, but also I'm guessing you did all right.
It went great. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think the best part was I did 16 minutes and I was pretty sure because I was asked to do 20. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, sure. I don't even have five. But like at that time I had like maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I said to him, well, I'll have 20 by that time. By the time I got to the actual night, he said, we just need 15. And I was like, that's good because I've only got 10. But it was because it's such a big room, the laughs last a lot longer.
I've heard that.
Yeah. And you know, they kind of like filter all the way to the back and then they come back again for another. It's like a wave. Mm. So it adds minutes on. So, yeah, 16 minutes I ended up doing, which was the most exciting part of that night. And then I went out. Can I say how like visceral can we get on this?
As visceral as this whole point.
Because
we're doing Dracula as the book, so it's got to be visceral.
I then went off stage, backstage. I bought Steve on from out the back, which was more terrifying than anything because it was being recorded for his special. So I had to do that. And it was simple. It was just, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Hughes. That was it. But I was terrified of doing it. Did it?
Just practicing the shower beforehand.
Pacing up and down. Yeah. The most embarrassing part is I had it written on a bit of paper and held it up while I read it out.
You read it?
I read it out.
Ladies and gentlemen. Like, I was like, was it actually ladies and gentlemen, Steve Hughes?
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Steve Hughes. That was it. Like, I can remember it now, But look, it's probably the last time I was super, super, super nervous, because after doing that, you're fine kind of for other gigs. There's been a couple of gigs I've been really nervous with, but I was that nervous. As soon as Steve went on stage, I took off. I was the only person backstage because everyone was watching Steve and filming and blah, blah, blah. And I took one of the biggest nervous dumps I've ever done in my life in the toilet backstage, but listening to this guy just destroying, like I did well, but they were there to see Steve, and it was just this like raucous laughter. It was bizarre having that as your backdrop while you're just unloading into the toilet. So yeah, that was my Steve Hughes experience.
Okay, cool. Well, let's say yes. That is an exciting first. Like, kind of, yeah, it was
the,
moment.
It's,
yeah.
It's the big thing that's happened, probably.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's downhill since then.
So, it's all downhill, yeah. Now I'm on here. Yeah. On this podcast.
It's just me and you, George, now. Yeah, that's where it is.
It's all that's left. And, yeah, look, I'm your fan still. So that's
oh, cool. I love you too, George. Oh. He's gorgeous. Do your listeners know you're gorgeous?
They could always hear it more.
Yeah, he is. I love him. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah.
We spent some time together during the fest. That was cool.
We did.
Got to hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's introduce nice. You to some tunes.
You did.
Yeah.
New Order.
Yeah. Oh.
Ugh.
There you go.
And you did make me appreciate, what's it called again? Bizarre Love Triangle. Oh, that is good. It's a good track.
Great pop song.
Yeah. It's great. I've been going hard on the, yeah, anyway.
whose podcast is this?
Yeah, I know. you smooth bastard. All right. Yeah. So, I guess now to give some background on you before we go into the book, I guess everyone can tell you're not from here.
I'm not from here, no.
So where, what's your history, I guess? Did you start off, like, when did you move to Australia?
I moved here when I was 14. So that's, I've been here a long time.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah.
That's, because you are not a young man.
No, I'm not. I'm 41 now. So I've been here quite a few years.
Yeah.
And thanks for that, George. But yeah, no, I've been here quite a few years. so, yeah.
Neither am I.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, this book actually has a lot to do with where I come from. So that's one of the reasons.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which I guess we'll get into.
Yeah. I mean, we can jump. I just like to, you just give some framing, but let's try the system this way. You know what? I've always wanted to try it. Let's try it this way. Okay. Your book of choice. Let's throw it out. Just do it. Anti-establishment, right? Your book of choice for today is?
Dracula. It's not called Count Dracula, but he is Count Dracula. It's Dracula. Yeah.
Losing some credibility immediately. Yeah. Count Dracula. It's like
by Lady Bird. The Lady Bird edition children's Dracula. Yeah, no, Dracula.
Yeah, Dracula. Yeah.
He's you read
Muppet.
It?
Yes. Well, no, actually, technically, no.
Okay.
I have. I've listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
So audiobook.
Yeah.
It has like it's a proper production where it's got like different actors doing each. I didn't know. I learned the word because of the book, the epistolary format.
That's right, yeah.
Through
documents and diary entries.
Yeah, so it's all done through diary entries and all that. And so it's actually perfectly suited to having a cast read it out. Yeah. Because, and it's like quite a good cast. It's got Tim Curry and stuff in it. And,
oh, wow.
Yes, they
I've listened to that one actually as well. Yeah,
it's brilliant.
Yeah,
it's so good. And it's made me realize how bloody good that book is.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know if it's a – yeah, I don't know if it's a great book, but it's you get into the when you read it, I found it quite annoying, like because it's just documents. It's not like a narrative as a normal novel would be, but you do get into the swing of it, and by the end of it, it's like, oh yeah, that's pretty fun.
Yeah, and I mean, like it is written. It's still basically novel because it's just like Dear Diary, this is what happened today.
Yeah.
And then different people writing it. Then occasionally it's newspaper. So I don't think it's like too far off.
Yeah.
But I would have had a different reading experience reading it than I would have listening to it, obviously.
Completely, so, yeah. Yeah.
When did you first read it?
I first read the real unabridged novel when I was 12.
Starting early.
Starting early, yeah.
Yeah.
But I read The Lady Bird. Children's book when I was like six or something like that, and unabridged versions from like I was just a huge Dracula fan and still am. Like I collect stuff for Dracula. I don't think people looking at me would ever think this would be a thing because I'm not like goth, am I?
No.
Which I think is what most people think a Dracula fan would be, but yeah, I'm a Dracula enthusiast,
like a lifelong one as well.
Since I was like six is the earliest I can remember.
Oh wow,
yeah. So it's that's what, because I was like, is it a great book? Not really. Is it the best book I've ever read? Probably not, but it's probably the book that's had, it's a book. Hello.
That's okay.
And it's had an effect on my entire life. So yeah.
Yeah, like you've known it too long to even be able to say whether you like it or not.
It has to be. It's like the Beatles, you know, like, yeah, sure, I'll have other music, but they're probably, yeah, they're the best.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. So this is probably the thing that's, yeah.
Wow, from that young.
From that young, man, yeah, yeah. And it's got a little bit of a bearing in comedy as well, like a start from Abbott and Costello, Meet Frankenstein, which is a film, and Dracula's in that, and he's probably even though it's called Meet Frankenstein, he's probably the main, Bela Lugosi's Dracula's the main thing, but also, as I was saying, where I was born in a place called Middlesbrough, 30 miles up the road is a town called, a little sea village called, fishing village called Whitby, which is where Bram Stoker conceived Dracula, so that whole town is filled with the lore of Dracula, and we'd go there for holidays, and it's like my favourite place on the planet. And you just, you know, just the atmosphere of that place is, it's fish and chips and Dracula. That's it. So I loved it.
So like when you say it's filled with it, are you saying as in like touristy Dracula stuff?
Or heaps. Now more than ever. Not so much when I was a kid. They had this thing called the Dracula Experience, which was like a waxworks museum. And it is the worst. I'll show you a photo from it before when we finished. But it's the worst waxwork experience thing ever. Like, it's just like so bad, like a step up from mannequins, but just really poorly executed. But just, I loved it. I just loved it. Like, it was dark and it had sound effects and, you know. And,
when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, yeah. It's been there since I was a kid till now. It's still running.
So did you go there first and then read the book, or did you read the book and then go there? And do you even know?
No, so we would go to Whitby, like I said, for holidays, and it would be there. And then I watched this Abbott and Costello film and just, like, fell in love with it. And comedy, I guess, because Abbott and Costello, you know. And also Michael Jackson's Thriller was a big thing too, because that was horror and it was, you know, scary. And it was like, wow, this is a whole thing, these monsters. You know, I was a monster kid, that's what they call them. Like, I'm really into to monsters and that. So yeah, Dracula, and then you got Hammer Horror and all this kind of stuff. I don't know if you know of that.
What's Hammer Horror?
Christopher Lee was the actor with, and Peter Cushing. Yeah, they were in these Dracula Christopher films. Lee.
Right. Saruman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. So and they would be on late night on the BBC, like, and my mum would tape them for me on the old VCR, and I'd get up and watch them in the morning. I just loved them. So yeah, it's like I still have stuff at home now, like collections of stuff and film posters in particular, like old movie posters and things like that. So yeah, I'm a real nerd. This is like blowing your mind, isn't it?
It's mad, like for multiple reasons. Like the level of geekery is absolutely adorable. Firstly,
yeah, yeah. Oh, full on.
Yeah, anyone who geeks out that kind of thing, I love it so much. But also just how deeply intertwined
this is
with your life.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because you're obsessed with music as well.
I love music, yeah.
Yeah, the fact that it was like featured in Thriller, which you were loving as a kid, and then it's like, then the comedy as well. It's like everything.
It all ties together, yeah. John Landis, I guess, because he directed Thriller.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
The music, yeah, the music, and American Werewolf in London, and then also Animal House and Trading Places. You know, like he's quite funny.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so you almost, oh, so it's got the warmest, oh, it's so deep, it's so interesting when I meet people like this who are just like, the book is so deeply intertwined with you.
Yeah.
From forever.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't even know, basically as long as your memory has existed in your own head, you've basically had Dracula in your life.
Yeah, that's just it. That's just it, man. It's been that's where the first Halloween, because we have, Halloween's a thing in the UK. I know it's becoming more of a thing here, but it was a thing in the UK.
Has it always been a thing?
In the UK, well, it was when I was a kid, yeah.
I thought it was an American thing.
Well, I think it actually started in the UK, but the Americans just do what they did with it and made it bigger and better.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Halloween I believe it started in the UK, but yeah, I just remember dressing up as Dracula. That's the original thing. That's like, I would have been 4, 5 maybe.
What?
So not into him as much as I was later, but that's because, you know, like, it's an easy costume. It's a cape.
Yeah.
You can buy them. They sell them at every $2 shop in town. I know, because I always go, oh, Dracula. It always catches my eye wherever I am. I'm like, oh, should I buy that? No, that's stupid. But yeah, man.
You look stupid, man. Yeah. You're a grown man.
So, it's always been there, man. Like, I don't know. Yeah, like, Like, I think people are shocked to find that. I tell you what, I went to a, this is years ago, me and my mum were at a market in Perth, and there was a fortune teller, this little old fella. And my mum said, oh, I might have a, you know, have a reading. And I don't believe in any of this stuff. Like, even though I'm into the Dracula thing and that, I don't believe in ghosts or any supernatural mm-hmm. stuff. But my mum sat down and he did this reading with him, and he was like, oh, you're having troubles with your marriage, which I thought was quite brave of him to say that, because she was wearing her wedding ring, but her and my father had separated just before this reading. Mm-hmm. So he was on the ball. I was like, that's kind of, that's impressive. Anyway, my mum's like, do you want to have a go? I'm like, I'll have a go at this. Yeah, let's see what he says. The first thing he said, oh, you love sex. And my mum stood right there, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's, I guess it's, who doesn't? I mean, who doesn't? You know what I mean? So that's kind of bullshit. But then he said, oh, you're really into like vampires and things like that. And I was like, how the fuck? Because I was wearing my Middlesbrough soccer shirt and shorts. Like, again, like you're shocked by like this guy that you see before you, like in Dracula. This was like, I was in soccer gear. And he's like, oh, you're like into vampires and,
what?
And things like that. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, how the fuck does he know this?
How does he
know that? I don't know. So
what do you mean?
Like, yeah.
It's so specific.
So specific to a guy who's wearing a soccer shirt, looks like a soccer hooligan for all intents and purposes.
You look like you still do.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, that's where he picked that out. And the thing, so that with my mum's marriage breakdown and this, and I was just like, and the sex thing, he was right. But again, who doesn't? I was like, wow, yeah, this is weird, isn't it? The fortune teller thing. So maybe, I don't know.
So you saw a real fortune
teller. And he vanished. No, he didn't vanish. But yeah, that was in Perth.
So. Well, that's, how old were you then?
I was only like, I would have been 24. 22 to 24, I think. Yeah. Let's say 23.
Let's split the difference. Yeah. Adorable that you're going around with your mum seeing fortune tellers, even as a 23-year-old.
Well, yeah, I was over visiting in Perth and went to a market. We weren't going to see a fortune teller. We were there to buy fruit and veg.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
Which we could no longer afford.
Just get a side of fate. Fruit couldn't afford. How about Jack and the Beanstalk?
Yeah.
So are your parents based in Perth?
My mum lives here now. She lives out the back of my house.
Okay.
In a house. Like, not
in the
tree house.
Just roams the garden.
She's very small. My old man lives in Perth with my two brothers live in Perth as well, not with him, but and my sister lives here in Melbourne now as well.
Okay. So you moved here when you were 14.
14, yeah.
And I'm guessing you moved to Perth?
Melbourne.
Oh, right. Yeah, so they all left Melbourne.
They all left
apart
Melbourne.
Apart from your mum.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. No, but she left as well. And then she's come back here just recently in the last 5 years. It's very confusing.
Yeah, okay. So you came to Melbourne and then you grew up here for how long?
They were here till I turned 18.
Right? And then they all left.
They all left.
The whole fam. Right,
yeah. It was my old man's in the oil industry. So
okay.
He had to follow the work. So he took the whole family off to Perth. I stayed here because I had a girlfriend who is now my wife.
Oh.
So, yeah.
You're an absolute sweetheart.
I am, aren't I?
I know you are.
It's really weird because I think people don't think I am.
Well, look, your style of comedy is quite dark.
Yeah.
It's quite filthy.
It's not sweetheart.
No.
That's not sweetheart material. But
you're a childhood sweetheart, 18 years old. And you're a geek, Dracula geek. That's adorable.
Yeah.
Okay, so then they all left, and then you just stayed here, and that's it. So you've lived here. So you were on your own basically from 18.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it was just weird because I was such a homesick kid. And it's just funny because my son, who's 11, he just went on school camp, and he doesn't cry at anything. He's quite a tough little kid. He wouldn't look it. He's quite nerdy, but he doesn't cry for some reason. He just doesn't cry, but he was in tears the day he left for camp. It was just the other week. And I was like, yeah, that's me. That's where I was like. But for whatever reason, when my family went, I think it's obviously because I was with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
I felt at home in Melbourne. I love Melbourne as well. Like, Melbourne's great. Perth is very boring.
Especially 20 years ago.
Yeah, even more so.
Good.
Melbourne boy, really. Love my coffee. Mm-hmm. Love my coffee. And my Draculas. That's it. That's it.
Like my girl, my coffee, my Draculas.
My Draculas. And my funnies, my ha-has. And talking like this. That's it, man.
It is a fun voice.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So, oh man, that's so, like, straight away, there's actually a few things there I want to look at. Firstly, because you've just mentioned it, the homesick thing.
Yeah.
It's interesting you're saying that because, like, your favorite book or the one that means the most to you is Dracula. Mm. And it seems like that was very much a home thing, right? That's a symbol of a life of beforehand, of, like, family togetherness and stuff like that.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
And then you've carried, like, I mean, you stayed with your wife from 18 years old.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she wasn't my wife then, but yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But, like, that sounds like someone who really likes
holding on to stuff.
Holding on to stuff? Is that something you would say?
Are you saying I'm weird? Is that what you're saying? No. yeah, like nostalgic, maybe? I don't know.
Is it nostalgic or is it more just like is it?
Imagine I'm only with my wife for nostalgic reasons. She may as well be a film poster. I just hang on the wall. That's all you are. And she won't listen to, she's never listened to a single podcast in her life.
But, do you know how many people would be with their wives because of nostalgic reasons? Or their partners, I should say. That actually summarizes so many relationships. They're just together for nostalgia.
She reminds me of the happier times. Not now, we hate each other now, but the happier times. They were great.
You know. We were young.
Yeah. I look at her face and just, yeah, I remember that, those times on the beach. There were no times on the beach. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's I do love this place, Whitby. Like, it is, and it's not just for me, for other family members, it's our favorite place on the planet. Not for Dracula reasons, that's just where I took from it. Like, the whole town, like, there's this abbey that overlooks the village. Like, it's where Bram Stoker got the inspiration to write the book, because he woke up in the middle of the night, looked out onto, and it looks beautiful. Like, it's a stunning, like, on the cliff edge and everything. And there was a thunderstorm, and these ships crashed into the side, and there was a big recovery operation. And he had a nightmare, all, like, you know, a boat arriving to the UK from Romania, and this big black dog jumps off while there's a thunderstorm happening, and that's how Dracula arrives. And that's where the idea started from. Yeah, that's where it kind of,
how weird, like,
this thing, which is funny, I guess, because, you know, that's the UK was going around invading everywhere, so it's about an invasion, I guess.
I never actually thought of that analogy. That's a good point. Actually,
until I read Wikipedia this morning, but yeah, it's
really?
No, I'm joking. No, man, I've watched that many documentaries on, it's so sad. I'm so help me, George.
I mean, as far as as far as book choices, you will, like, that's got to be one of the richest, like, Dracula would have to be one of the richestly documented and discussed.
Yeah, yeah,
of
it's up
almost
there.
Any fandom. Yeah, okay. Do you like any other vampire stuff, or is it just Dracula?
Do you know what? I tried, but no, I couldn't get into it, like Anne Rice or anything like that. Just Dracula.
Not a. Actually, what else is there?
That's about it, I think.
You got Twilight.
True Blood. I'm True thinking, blood. Like, just in popular.
Is there any real teen? Yeah, is there any teen vampire stuff apart from Twilight? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I didn't get into Twilight.
Okay, that's probably,
that would have been interesting if I came here today and said the Twilight series, George.
Ah, it would have been the photo of you I'd post would be promoted. People would be like, "This is, I'm going to have to listen to this," and the police will too. Yeah. I do not like this at all. This makes me uncomfortable.
I was tossing up between Dracula and Harry Potter. I quite like the Harry Potter series.
Yeah,
straight up. Yeah,
no,
ready?
Love it.
Yeah, cool. And Lord of the Rings. I didn't realize you're such a
mate.
Yeah,
Silmarillion.
Oh wow, you've read that
multiple times.
Wow. Okay, I couldn't get through it.
Yeah,
that's cool. I'm not saying because it's just a heavy text.
I agree. I don't think I'm never going to be someone who's. It's sadder to get through it.
Numerous times. That is crazy, because I would never have picked you as a. Hey, we're learning so much about each other.
We are. I know.
Through books. What a great idea for a podcast.
There you go. I know.
Well done.
Like, we're finding out a lot about you. Oh, thanks. Thanks.
And you.
I was going to ask about that as well, actually, the Whitby thing. Because when you said, so now it's been cheapened horribly by Dracula paraphernalia and stuff being scattered around, which I'm sure has only gotten worse with time in terms of touristy stuff.
Yeah.
Which is probably like, have you ever been to Edinburgh?
Yeah, I love Edinburgh.
It's like there, how it's got like, it's slowly over time, it's got more and more Harry Potter references as like,
yeah,
the place where Harry Potter was invented.
Yeah, look, I don't know, man. It's up in. I was there last in 2016. I grew up in Scotland, in Aberdeen. I don't know if you've been to Aberdeen.
No.
Good. It's a terribly boring place.
Now, where is Aberdeen?
North? It's north. It's the furthest north big city in Britain. So it's northeast. That's the granite city, Aberdeen. There's a big granite quarries there, and all the buildings are made from granite. So they sparkle in the sun. Like Twilight.
That sounds...
It sounds amazing, but there's no sun, so it's it's kind of wasted. It's just like once a year you get this, you get that effect. I grew up there. I was so excited to take my family there. They'd never been, because we always stay in Middlesbrough, which is where my family's from. But like I said, I grew up in Aberdeen, and oh man, that was a big mistake. They were so fucking bored. Yeah, it was just the most boring place, and it's so depressing. Funny thing about Aberdeen is just up the road is a castle called, I think it's Slane's Castle it's called, which is a ruined, which they all are, they're all ruins pretty much, the castles. And that was the castle that gave Bram Stoker inspiration to do Dracula.
Are you serious?
So I was just like surrounded, like I had no other choice really. I don't know why more people aren't into it, but yeah. So it's,
you've been indoctrinated in Dracula from like a child.
Yeah, exactly. So it was kind of cool, man, like being into Dracula and living there and then coming out here, and you've just got no...
Just to go back to that for a second, though, because it's interesting you're saying that. So basically, even though you were born in Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
But then you moved to Scotland for a bit.
Yeah.
And then you went from there to Melbourne.
That's right, yeah.
So you've been...
I've had it, like, you know, when you talk to people from other cultures, like yourself, the Greek culture and stuff like that, and I don't know what your life was like growing up here. I can imagine you got called a few things, perhaps.
Not too bad, no.
Not too bad?
No.
But I imagine for other cultures as well, like, you know, you touched on Indian and things like that. Mm. I was just getting ripped into the whole time. Like, I was English guy in Scotland, it's probably the worst out of all of them. And then coming out here, especially when you're 14, like, we went from, like, working class to living in Toorak in this massive house. Like, it was such a shock to the system.
Really?
And I went from, like, a grammar school, which sounds posh, but it isn't. It's just it's just where everyone goes. It's a secondary school. It's a government school.
Yeah.
Which Lord Byron went to, incidentally. He wasn't there at the same time. I'm not that old. But he's got history and vampire lore as well. Yeah. Gothic is what I should say. He has a history of Gothic.
Yeah.
Literature. So, you know, he hung out with Mary Shelley and stuff like that. So there was that. Connection. Yeah, there's a big statue of him out the front of our school.
He's a good claim to fame.
Yeah.
Lord Byron.
But
love
it. It kind of covered over the huge cracks of that school. It was a very, I don't know if you ever saw Grange Hill, but it was just a government secondary school.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
All right. And you were only there for a little bit as well.
I was there for 3 years. Yeah. Yeah. And then came out here and went to St. Kevin's in Toorak, which was a big shock.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Big shock.
I don't know if this is as much the country of origin than the class divide that might have, or maybe combined together.
It was a big culture shock. And also just, I just like it was an old boys school, so that was already weird because I'd just come from co-ed and like you actually had to do work and call people sir, and you had to wear like we had to wear uniforms in Scotland, but like this was like shirt had to be tucked in and socks pulled up. Yeah, as you can tell, I had a hard life.
Just tucked in and socks pulled up.
You just don't know, George. Yeah. You just don't know.
You weren't there.
Nah. You had to be there. I spent the first 3 days of school there just crying my eyes out, like looking out the window longingly. I don't know what I was looking for. There was just a hugely expensive oval and swimming pool that I was looking at, but I was just like in tears, just like, just take me home. This is the worst. 40 degrees? What's with that? You idiots. You absolute idiots. Ah, what's with the weather? And then, I cried for 3 days. And then my dad said, why don't you tell them all you'll have Dracula? And then I got beaten up. No, I didn't. I didn't.
That didn't happen.
That didn't happen. I did go to school in a Dracula t-shirt once and got tea, so I didn't do that ever again. But
it's you're really asking for it, though.
But by that stage, I knew who I was. Like, I was kind of like, as in, what happened was my dad, third day, crying, hated it. My dad said, why don't you take a soccer ball in? Because I was pretty good at soccer. And I took that in. A few lads came and had a kick at lunchtime, and that was it. Yeah. I was in. So soccer saved, like, I was pretty good at soccer. I love soccer. Like, that's soccer and Dracula.
You can call it football here if you want.
Thank you. We're in a safe space.
Yeah.
But I got called some not very nice names then as well, which, something about my sexuality, which we were all at a boys' school. I would have thought we would all be in the same. And anyway, yeah.
What do you mean?
I got called a poofter. That was it.
Yeah.
Oh, poofter. All the time. I just ignore it. I was like, what is this? Like,
you're going to see that way more, I think, in a boys' school than you would in anywhere else. Because, like, that's the – everyone's paranoid about it.
Yeah, 1994.
They were back then, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Now it's – I don't know. Probably boys' schools are still pretty bad right now. But like,
well, I think St. Kevin's is. It's in the news a lot.
And it is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're that St. Kevin's?
Yeah. It's that St. Kevin's, man. And I'd like to see it. Like, was it any – the thing is, back then, that was just normal, I think. It wasn't just St. Kevin's, like that type of behavior.
Well, yeah, that's the problem.
They just haven't moved on. And like, I hated the place. Essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were there for the rest of your school?
Up to year 12, yeah. Okay. And like, football was great. That was like, I had a lot of fun with that. And I got on with most lads, but I just hated the culture of that place. And
it's messed up.
Yeah, and the favorite, even just, well, I don't just mean the culture in that sense. Yes, that was awful, and I heard some awful stories and stuff like that. But like, even just like people who pumped a lot of money into that school, donations were looked after a lot better than just your regular Joes. So, and there was a lot of Joes. It was a boys' school, a lot of regular Joes.
There really would be, yeah. Okay, it's funny how, like, even in the you put your kid in private school because you want them to get like favoritism in a way, but then they end up being just down the pecking order in the private schools.
So that's right.
Yeah, instead of feeling exactly the same as they would
anywhere else.
Not that this is fair, but this is
Well, my kids don't go to a private school. I can tell you that now.
Yeah,
and even if I did have the money, they wouldn't go to a private school either.
You hated it that much?
Yeah, just despised it. I just think it's. Did you go to private school? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's right.
Look at you doing a podcast about books.
I know. Oh, no. I could not be more private school. I am possibly the most private school person.
Exactly.
You've ever seen. Like, I think people can sense it. That's actually one of my biggest difficulties in like comedy is like people can tell from the second I open my mouth, this motherfucker went to private school. Yeah. He knows what epistolary means.
I didn't work out.
Self-taught. Just out of interest on the side of also getting private school education. Well, okay. So look, I think that keeps coming up on this whenever I talk to people about their lives and things like that is how much what's nature versus nurture, blah, blah, blah. But with you, it seems like you really had an uprooted existence your whole life almost. And then it sounds like the second you got a chance to put roots down, you really took it immediately. With your like girlfriend, now wife.
Yeah.
You were like, I'm not fucking going anywhere. Like,
we
I've got a choice.
We bought a house. But we have a mortgage, and we did that like 5 years ago now. And this is it. Like, I won't move from this house. Like, we had a home in Scotland. Our home in Scotland and in the UK was my nana and granddad's in Middlesbrough. That was it. Because my mum and dad, even, like, they moved houses. They, to make money, they would, my dad would work on rigs. They would buy a house, they'd do it, renovate it, and then sell it for a small profit. And that's what we did for, like, most of my life there. So I was moving house all the time. We came here, we were moving house every single year.
Oh, really?
Year on, because the lease would just last a year and then we'd move to another one. Because we were always told you might be moving to Africa or Argentina or whatever. So the leases were only ever a year and we'd move on. So I never just really like had, you know, your childhood home.
Yeah.
It was my grandparents in Middlesbrough up the road from Whitby. So I guess, yeah, you're right. It ties back into stuff like this. Now the house we've got, like we will live there until we're old enough to knock it all down, build townhouses on it because it's quite a big block, and that's how we'll retire or something like that.
Yeah, but you just love the idea of that settling down and having.
Yeah, completely. And it's probably too small, but it's so homely. I just couldn't care.
Really?
Couldn't care less. Yeah.
That's really sweet.
I guess it is. It's kind of, yeah. I mean, I'm seeing a psychologist. We talk about this a lot.
Really?
Yeah, but yeah, it's it was damaging. Like it's kind of pathetic. You think I've been told not to say that anymore, but it's it was tough, man. Like it wasn't.
Why are you saying pathetic?
Just like because there's people who have real issues. It hurt, man. Like I my granddad's dead now. We didn't get to spend as much time with him as we would have if had we stayed there. My nana, I was supposed to go back last year to see my nana in May. And do comedy in the UK. It was going to be bittersweet, but a bittersweet trip because she's got Alzheimer's and now she's a very ill woman and you know we've been told we can't travel till next year now. So
it's messed up.
It is, yeah. So you really brace yourself for the worst.
Yeah.
Outcome, which is but
Ryan,
kind of sucks, man.
Yeah,
I don't want that to happen for my kids.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of telling. Like, as in, I think it started so early. This, who knows where the fond memories came from? Like having something to hold on to.
Yeah, it obviously
ties into all of this stuff and all of that. So it's not just; it's more stability.
Yeah,
are you just holding on to stability instead of childhood? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm even trying to read in now that you're doing this. It's like Dracula. He's leaving his country, going to the UK. It's got nothing to do with it, but it was worth a try.
Well, no, that's
I threw it out there
because the whole point of this, we're just using this as a jumping off point. And the thing is, something you might like it for one reason when you're a kid, but then the reason you keep liking it is because of all these extra things you don't even think about.
Yeah.
So the book had this really atmospheric, gothic sensibility, just all the way through
the
way
they describe
it. It drips off the page. Yeah. So you're reading, and people today might be like, oh, this is slow because it does spend so much time on just building. Like you just feel this atmosphere the whole way through. And it's like very central, visceral, like you said at the start. It's like that. And that means like when it does have these, which in the book, they're very few and far between the really like gory scenes. There aren't that many in the book.
But some of them are quite shocking. We'll get to it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, as in, they're so shocking. Like, as in, like, there's one especially, like, towards when they kill one of the girl that's been whatever. When you're just like, man, this is gruesome. Like, for back then, and it's not gruesome in, like, a foul language. It's just very evocative language. Like, very, like, as in, you feel everything about it.
The one that always got me, because like I said, I read the book when I was 12. So before that, I was reading the
kids one.
Yeah,
she gave him a kiss, and then she went to sleep forever.
the baby that he feeds to the three.
I forgot about that.
And the mum who comes pleading at the castle door, like, please give me my child back. Oh my God,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and it's horrific. Like you're like, whoa, they're not going to go there. We're not going to kill killing children's one thing, but like a newborn baby, we're not doing that. And he feeds the baby to the, it's full on. Like the amount, you don't need all the graphic detail because it's just implant your mind, your nightmares do the rest. And it's horrific. Like that is.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Like, because I was thinking more about the language, but that one's just like, the fact that it happens, you're like, this is.
It's full on. This guy's evil, and it's scary. It makes it really scary. Yeah.
This is one of the ones I think with some things where I'm reading it, and I'm like, imagine back in the day reading this
completely.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You would be like blown away back then. You'd be like, senses would be up and about if there were, not that there were any back then.
Well, it was released late 1876, I'm having a guess. That's a guess, I'm thinking.
No, I think it's like 1898, something like that.
Right, 96. Okay, 1896.
Late 1890, yeah.
Okay, because the widow of Bram Stoker had a whole, what do you call it, court battle with the filmmakers who made Nosferatu in Germany. So it was, you know, she was still alive, like it was still a fresh book in 1920. Like,
yeah,
it was pretty newish.
Well, so, and like we're still talking about it now. So imagine back then. It's
well,
like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the cultural thing. Yeah, it's a great book. I love it. I really thought it was brilliant.
I mean, yeah, it's never been out of print since, which I don't think there's too many. I think there's only like the Bible and maybe Frankenstein, or maybe not even that book that
has had that long a run.
Yeah,
really,
like never been out of print.
I mean, it's fair enough. I honestly, I went into thinking, oh, it's an old book. People like it because the idea of it, but obviously it can't be that good. And I was like, oh no, this is intense. Like I was so engaged in it. But yeah, to go with the visceral thing again, with the blood and all that, and you mentioned it at the start as well. Obviously one of the things about Dracula and the subtext, which it's not really subtext, is the whole sexual element to the whole thing. Like no one's banging, everyone's banging. Like it is in this whole thing of an old man preying on youth and taking advantage of it. It's very, very, very intertwined in the story, this sexual element to it all. Did that something that you noticed when you were...
Not when I was 12.
Not when you were 12?
No, not when I was 12. And not until I saw Bram Stoker, the film Bram Stoker's Dracula. And look, that's not strictly true. So like I said to you, that my mum would record Hammer horror films for me. So like the early Dracula films, like up until 66, were like very gothic films. But then as soon as you started getting towards the 70s, that's when the whole like tits and ass thing became a big deal. So I'd be like, oh, Dracula film, great, sit down to watch it. And I'd be like, woo! So then it was like, whoa, they're really pumping this stuff out a lot. My mum would make me fast forward past the sex scenes.
Hilarious.
Which made it even more intense because
no one can see your hand going up and down right now. Fast forward motion.
I'm not jerking off, but
no, you're just showing the action of what the people are doing.
Going even faster. So it was like even like, whoa, that's how it's done. So it didn't make it any better. But yeah, so that I just kind of always thought it was like they just did it for the 70s because it's for films and stuff like that. But yes, it's I guess it's dripping in it. And it wasn't until Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula came out, which was like the greatest moment of my life as a Dracula fan, because there was just like stuff from the 60s with Christopher Lee, stuff from the 30s, Bela Lugosi. Then all of a sudden, boom, that was a huge film. That was like that broke the box office records for that year, and it was a 18 R. I don't think it was R here, but in the UK it was 18 certificate, and it was still breaking the record. So everyone was going to see it.
Really? Was it that big?
It was huge. Yeah, it was a huge guy, and it was a gothic film, and actually kickstarted the whole. It's probably why we have Twilight. It's probably that film's fault because it kickstarted this whole interest in gothic cinema, gothic. Stories, you know, it was 3 years later we had Kenneth Branagh's Frankenstein film, Jack Nicholson's werewolf film. Like it just kickstarted this whole thing, and it just carried on vampire film after vampire film before like we had 28 Days Later came out and started the whole zombie thing, which is still kind of ongoing to a point.
It's still very much ongoing.
Yeah, but it really kickstarted that whole thing with music as well. Like there was a number one hit. I think it got to number one. Annie Lennox's song for a vampire, I think it was called, was a number one song for a Dracula film. You know what I mean? Like it's weird.
That's a dream thing for you as well as a fan.
I loved that. It's probably a shit song, but I loved it.
You know,
I had the soundtrack on cassette. It was just everything. There was T-shirts. There was with Dracula on it. It was just
It's a Because it's like a B movie almost, like the way he made it. It's like,
oh yeah, completely.
It's bonkers, like in that sense. I just love how much heart everyone's making out. It's just funny. Like, this is some intense making out going in this movie. You don't see that much.
Yeah, and it turns out later, because like there was a making of on the VHS. So this is like before DVD. There was a, you know, which all has making ofs. As soon as DVDs came out, special features. This came with a little making of documentary on it. And it was like, wow, he was into this film. You find out later on he was just making this film because he just needed, like, he had money issues. Like, yeah. He didn't give a shit about fucking Dracula at all. Mm. But, you know, it's quite a beautiful film to watch. So, yeah.
It's bright, it's colourful, like, it's
Keanu Reeves is horrendous. I love Keanu, but...
It's not a good movie in the sense of... theater, like a film.
Yeah.
It's a good movie in terms of, yeah, that schlocky horror thing, but
it's
does colorful. Well.
Yeah, it's gothic. It's
sexy.
It's fun. Yeah, incredibly so. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, baby. Yeah. Well, like, that's what I was going to say. You mentioned the fortune teller mentioning your horniness. That's why I was like, is that something you want to talk to?
No, yeah. Tell us about that, man. No, it's not.
Tell us about your first sexual.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I just bit this girl on the neck and. Yeah, no, I just as much as anyone else I've discovered. That's probably as much as I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I did work in doing graphic design for pornography for 4 years, but that wasn't because I was like, oh, I can't wait to do that. It was just, you've gone, hang on, what?
Wait.
Yeah. That was my first graphic design job. It was in
4 years.
Yeah.
Like the front covers of movies
what? Yeah.
So, yeah?
Yeah, in Australia, yeah.
It's like
that was full on.
Okay. Mm. I feel like those aren't the most recognized pieces of artwork that is graphic design. Like, I feel most porno covers are not exactly renowned for being.
No. The company called Vivid had pretty cool covers, but what it is we just formatted them for Australian release. That was it.
Oh wow!
Because you know it's illegal to have it here.
What?
It's illegal to have pornography, porno films, X-rated films in Australia.
Like as in to film them?
To sell them.
Really?
It's a real weird loophole, yeah, which this company exploited. It was at this time, I'm not sure if it still is, this is like going back to 2009.
Mm-hmm.
It was illegal you could sell them in Canberra, mm-hmm. but you couldn't sell them anywhere else unless they were certified by the Australian government through the classification board.
Mm-hmm.
So... you had to have a lot of things cut out of film. Like you couldn't have an X-rated film with weapons in it. So you couldn't have hot hardcore sex and someone holding a gun, even if they don't use it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So on the covers, if you were releasing a hardcore film and it had like the guy holding guns, like if you're doing like a Rambo, like I don't know why I said Rambo, but you know what I mean? Like a Rambo porn parody.
Rambone. That's Rambo. The porno version.
Perfect. Yeah. Rambone.
Ramboner.
And he's holding like his bazookas. That's not a euphemism. He's holding his guns. We had to Photoshop them out and maybe like make it look like he was holding something else. Oh no! Like I don't.
Are
mean
you serious?
Yeah.
So it did take some creativity.
So yeah. So like there was stuff like you couldn't have like because we released in New Zealand as well, and New Zealand you weren't allowed to have any fluids on the covers. So there was a lot of Photoshopping techniques being used. And
that's hilarious.
Yeah, that was just to make it legal to sell in Australia.
Just on the cover. That's what you had to
just
change.
The cover. Yeah. And they'd have to edit. So we had also had an editing suite where people worked editing the films. And the funny thing is, man, there was some really talented people in these rooms. Like one of them is now one of the best-selling authors in Australia, Christian White, who's released 2 books and they're being made into Netflix films and like series and stuff like that. Amazing. I wish I remember. I'll look them up and tell them. Like, just amazing author.
Mm.
Like a film director. She was working there. Summer de Roche, her name was. And like, she's just super talented as well. But yeah, they were all out in this editing these films to make them legal to sell in Australia. It's just a real.
It's such a sordid sounding thing. Yeah.
Making porn legal to sell. Well, yeah, isn't it? Isn't because they were taking like out like violence from it and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. But no, it just sounds hilarious.
Yeah, it was a weird job.
We're just trying to get porn to more people.
Just let's get it. That's what they want, George.
It's what they want.
Yeah.
Who are we to deny them?
Exactly. So, Yeah, that was a weird job. So yeah, the sex thing. Maybe the fortune teller was seeing that in my future.
Seeing the future, yeah.
And it was like, this guy's gonna be seeing a lot of dick,
and he's gonna feel confused about it. Okay, yeah, no, that's the reason I asked, because like that is like such a big part of the fact that you mentioned the fortune teller mentioning it, and like it is such a big part of Dracula. But maybe the fortune teller is just a Dracula fan, so he knows what it means. If you like vampires,
you like this, yeah. That's a good point.
See, I think it already connects more to continuity almost, but like, were you a bit of a lovey-dovey? Because like the answer to the other part about Dracula is there is kind of that romance element to it.
I'm so hack at that stuff. No, I'm terrible. I'm not a romantic guy.
Yeah.
Nah.
But sorry. Okay, not in terms of gestures, but in terms of, I already think the answer is that you are.
You mean at heart?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like I'm still madly in love with my wife.
Oh, so, yeah. God.
She can't stand me.
That's disgusting.
She's like, yeah.
You make me sick.
Yeah, exactly.
I prefer if it was a weird sex thing. Oh, God. You still love your wife?
Yeah, that's... Oh. Ugh. Someone take this guy to Manus Island. No, sorry. It's gonna stop.
Seriously, yeah. Too many times.
Yeah, I know. It's like, yeah. That's weird. I've never mentioned before.
That is the other... yeah, no, because that is the main characters are very much in love and figuring out that stuff in terms of
Jonathan Harker and Mina.
And Mina, yeah. Which is like,
I don't know about the Dracula love thing.
No, that's a poisonous, toxic. Which I feel like the movie, the Bram Stoker's, like the '90s one, that kind of made that more of a thing. Which is not in the books at all.
No, and there was they made it sound like it was the first time that had been looked at. But there was a film with Jack Palance where he played Dracula. And it's basically Bram Stoker's Dracula script. So it was a made-for-TV. Oh, such a nerd. God, I'm a nerd.
It's crazy. You're ready to keep going. Really, all you needed was me to be like, what? Well, actually, okay. Up.
Yeah. So
if on that note, though, because you're so knowledgeable, best Dracula movie.
Yep, easy. Horror of Dracula by Hammer Horror, Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing. Which is not near the book whatsoever.
Horror of Dracula.
Horror of Dracula, yeah. 1950, I think it's 58, 56.
Really? And this is brilliant.
56, 57, I think it's brilliant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Horror of Dracula. I haven't seen it. So check it out.
Loved it.
Cool. Well, I think that's kind of we've jumped around a lot. But
sorry.
We didn't even touch on like...
The book?
No, we did the book plenty, but I guess your own... history as much, but that was fun. Cool.
Such a nerd.
You're such a nerd. Do you, I guess one thing I always ask, do you feel like you've got any new connections between yourself and the book?
New connections?
Yeah, pretty hard at this point, but
this
conversation.
No, like I haven't read it for a while, man. Like I said, because it's just been so ingrained in my own personal history. That's why I went with it. My kids, I think my daughter hasn't read it, but she reads a book a week.
Oh wow.
Like she's insanely what's the word?
Bookish,
yeah, let's say that. Intelligent, I guess. She's
literally
really, like with English, and literature. She's just and I'm not talking kids, she's 14, like she's reading novels once a week. She'll chew through one. I think she has interest in it. She thinks her dad's cool. Let's put it that way. She said that the other day. I overheard her saying it.
About you?
Yeah.
Oh, she's no like way.
Her mom. Like she's like, mom's lovely. She was talking to her brother. She's like, mom's lovely and that, but you know, like dad's cool. And I overheard it and I told my wife and she's just like, fuck you.
And you were so happy.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, yeah. She loves New Order. So she gets it.
Yeah, she thinks you're cool.
Yeah. And my son agreed. He's like, yeah. And she wears, even though I'm like way too big, but she wears my like stuff that doesn't fit me. She loves wearing her dad's clothes, like his jumpers, things like that.
Oh my God.
I'm talking about his jumpers. He's the third person. You should meet him sometime, George. He's great. He's cool.
It's a weird sex thing. You wouldn't understand. That sounds adorable. You big... Softy,
fluffy,
cuddly bear. No one would expect from the filth that comes out of your mouth at comedy venues. Cool. All right. Just quickly, anyone wants to follow you? Where can they follow you? Where can they catch you?
On Instagram, Matt O'Neill Thunderbastard. One word. pretty easy. Mm-hmm. And mattoneilcomedy.com, I think it is. Yeah. And that'll take you to all the links to stuff.
I'll put it in
there
anyway.
Please follow me. Fuck.
All right. Thanks very much for being on.
Cheers, George.
Nice. Cheers.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows we do here at Sans Pants Radio, then why not subscribe to SansPantsPlus.com? For as little as $5 a month, you could have access to a whole bunch of bonus shows and content. Once again, that's SansPantsPlus.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.